This morning, the word of the Lord comes to us from the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel, reading from chapter 9. 2 Samuel, chapter 9, verse 1. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They called him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "Your servant," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He's crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked Ziba. Ziba answered, He is at the house of Machir, son of Emir, in Lo Debar." So King David had him brought from Lo Debar, from the house of Machir, son of Emir. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth?" "Your servant," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and the family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for." And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Michal. And all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Church, shall we stand to receive the gospel reading? Our gospel reading this morning is taken from the gospel according to St. Luke chapter 23 and starting at verse 35. And the people of God say, "Glory to Christ our Saviour." Luke chapter 23, starting to read at verse 35, the account of what happened at the crucifixion of our Lord. Luke 23 and from verse 35. "The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the Chosen One.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' There was a written notice above him which read, 'This is the King of the Jews.' One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, 'Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God?' he said, 'since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord. Would you be seated, my brothers and sisters? To bring us God's word today is Bishop Paul Burnett. Bishop Paul Burnett, well, he's a New Testament scholar, and God's used him wonderfully to teach God's word. He specializes in the expansion of Christianity from the first century. And it's a great privilege to know him as one who has utter confidence and great delight in teaching the word of God. But I don't know him because of his scholarship. I know him as a personal friend and a dear brother. He was the one who prepared me during my retreat before I was consecrated as a bishop in the Church of God. And I've had the great privilege of knowing him and his wife. And now, many of the church leaders also know him because he's been coming for our leadership retreats. And then just these past few days, he's been coaching us on how to interpret, how to discover God's message in the Word of God, and then how to preach it. So it is with great delight. And he's wonderfully agreed to preach on the series we are on. We're on the series on David, and today extending grace God's way. Would you warmly welcome Bishop Paul Burnett. Pray for him as he brings us God's word. Our great God and Father, we praise you that your word is truth, and that when we receive it with faith, it becomes living and active. And this is our prayer, Lord, that you would anoint your servant, our brother Paul, as he brings your word, and open our hearts to receive your word unto fruitfulness. This we ask for the glory of our great God and King, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters, it is a great privilege and pleasure to be with you. And I am thankful for the confidence of Pastor Rennes in entrusting me to speak today from his pulpit as part of the series on King David. And my theme today is the kindness of God. The kindness of God that David showed to the grandson of his enemy, King Saul. And I might just mention that there are some lovely notes in your material that you were given this morning by Eugene Peterson, and I do encourage you to read them because they are very helpful and very warm and helpful indeed. I don't know about you, but the things I tend to remember in life are times when people have been unkind and times when people have been very kind. Quite some years ago now, when I was studying in the University of Cambridge, I had to go to an important dress-up function late in the afternoon, and I had my suit on and my white shirt and my tie. But the way that one travelled around Cambridge, as many of you would know, is by push bike. And so I'm riding my push bike up towards the centre of Cambridge, and some distance from my destination, the chain came off. Now, I have to tell you that I'm not a very practical person. I'm not very good with machines, with anything mechanical, with computers, or anything like that at all. Fortunately, my wife is. And that's why we've been able to get by in life. And so I stood there helpless because this bike chain was full of grease. And here am I, and I'm in my nice suit with my white shirt. And I thought to myself, this is just the most terrible problem. At that very moment, a man came out of a building site who'd been working all day. His hands were dirty, his clothes were dirty, he had a hard hat on, etc., etc., etc. And he looked at me and said, "Sir, you need some help, and I can give it to you." And he bent down and he put the bicycle chain back on and he said, "There you are, sir, off you go now." But that was 32 years ago, and I have never forgotten the kindness of that man. We tend to remember the kindness that people show us. The kindness of God is higher than the kindness of man. And David showed the kindness of God to the man Mephibosheth, as we just read in 2 Samuel chapter 9. Of course, David is pointing forward to great David's greatest son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And there we see the, as it were, the perfect kindness of God. Remember the wonderful things that Jesus did. He did a simple thing like providing wine for people at a meal when the wine had run out. He feeds 5,000 men and numbers of women and children as well from just a few loaves and fishes. He heals people who are diseased and disabled, and he heals people from death itself. And so in Jesus we see the kindness of God in a perfect way. But now, thinking back to King David in 2 Samuel, in the last few weeks you have been reminded from chapter 5 how David now is without any opposition. He is anointed king. Chapter 6, he comes now to Jerusalem and he makes the city of David the capital of Israel. And then in chapter 7, he is promised that the throne will never be apart from David and his descendants, and a descendant of David, a son of David, will build a house for the name of God. And then in chapter 8 we read how David conquers all his enemies and brings peace and justice to the people of God. And then we come to our chapter, chapter 9, where we see David showing the kindness of God to an enemy, to the son of an enemy, or grandson of an enemy, King Saul. As we read through that chapter, I asked us to think about three acts of kindness that David showed. First of all, he inquired from one of his servants, "Is there anyone still alive from the family of Saul? Is there anyone left from that previous dynasty?" And David's servant answered, "Yes, there is a man named Mephibosheth. But he is living a long way away. He's living in hiding. And he is a cripple." David's first act of kindness was to bring back to that man Mephibosheth all the lands and property that his grandfather Saul had owned. This was an act of considerable kindness on the part of David, because those lands were under his own control, but he restored them to this crippled man. The second act of kindness that he did was to make sure that those lands were farmed. And so he instructed one of his servants to go and work the land and bring the produce from the land to this man Mephibosheth. The third great act of kindness was very kind indeed, because he brought him from hiding, he brought him to Jerusalem, and he invited him to sit at the king's table. In effect, he adopted him as one of his own sons. This is an incredible act of kindness, particularly in that culture where the tradition was that you killed off all the relatives of the previous dynasty so that nobody could rise against you. But David showed the kindness of God. Now, this is a lovely story. We might say it is a story with a lovely moral, a kind of go and do likewise kind of story. But there's a little more to it than this. Because, you see, David points forward to the Messiah. David is the promise of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. David is that son that David would have many years later, who will build a house for the name of God. And the house that the Messiah will build for the name of God is the church. This is fulfilled in us today as we gather here. Jesus was descended from the line of David. David was anointed with oil. The Messiah, Jesus, is anointed with the Holy Spirit. David's kingdom was in physical Jerusalem. Jesus, the Messiah's kingdom, is in the heavenly Mount Zion. David conquered his enemies around about him. Jesus is Lord of the universe and sends his people to make disciples of the nations. David showed the kindness of God, but Jesus the Lord showed us the greater kindness of God. Now, as we read on in 2 Samuel, we will be reminded that David was by no means a perfect man. In fact, he was a man with many faults. He was a man in many ways like many of us. He is an adulterer. He sees a beautiful woman already married to somebody, and he takes her. He arranges for her husband to be killed. He was intended to be a loving and good shepherd king, a good brother to fellow covenant members. But he proves to be a king and an exploiter, like all the kings around at that particular time, and so many ruthless rulers have been down through the centuries. And so David, at an absolutely fundamental point, fails. And his subsequent story is racked with tragedy upon tragedy. The child that is conceived with Bathsheba dies. He subsequently bears a son, Solomon, but after Solomon, the whole kingdom absolutely falls apart. And so David, who seems to be such a bringer of promise, who seems to be the fulfillment of the great promises that God made to Abraham centuries before, it all collapses in loss. And so we must wait for nearly 1,000 years for the promises to Abraham to be fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet there is greatness with David. But the greatness in David is seen, as it were, through the shape of Christ. As we look backwards through Christ back to David, we can see that, like Christ who is to come, David is a man of prayer. And we have to think of the wonderful Psalms, 150 Psalms of David, as the examples of his prayer. And we look back through Christ and we see in this particular chapter the kindness of God shown to the grandson of a former enemy, the man Mephibosheth. Now, if we leave David and we fast forward to our Lord Jesus Christ, we see one who the Apostle Peter says went about doing good, that is, great acts of kindness. The blind see, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the lame walk, the dead are raised, sins are dealt with in the death of Jesus. Death itself is overcome in the resurrection of Jesus. Here we see great David's greater son showing the kindness of God. David saved Israel from her enemies. Our Lord Jesus Christ saves his people from their sins. And we are those people whom he has saved from our sins. And we were not always the friends of God. In fact, before we become Christian believers, the Bible says that we are rebels, that we are sinners. In fact, can we believe it? The actual enemies of God. The Apostle Paul said, while we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. You want to know where the kindness of God can be ultimately shown? It is shown in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. David reconciled a potential former enemy to himself by his act of kindness to the man Mephibosheth. But God showed his ultimate kindness to us in making us who were previously the enemies of God his own friends by that ultimate act of kindness. While we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. So, what do we do with the kindness of God? What is our response to the kindness that God has shown to us? Let me suggest two things. The first thing we do with the kindness of God is that we receive it. We open our hearts to it, as we've been singing in our worship at the beginning of our time together today. David showed Mephibosheth the kindness of God, but Mephibosheth could have said, no, I don't want the property back from my grandfather. I don't want anybody's help to farm the land. I don't want to come to Jerusalem. I don't want to sit at the king's table. I prefer to be a helpless cripple, living out my days in poverty and fear. Pride could have dictated a no answer to the offer of the kindness of God. And you and I can say no to the kindness that God offers us in Jesus Christ through the gospel. He offers us forgiveness and friendship. But we can say, nope, I'm fine. I can make it alone. He offers to adopt us into the family of God so that we sit at table with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But we could say, no, I want to go my own way and do things just the way I want to do. We are offered the kindness of God in a great act of reconciliation to bring us who are previously the enemies of God into the family of God as the friends of God. But we could say no. Pride, of course, is our big problem. Or some sin that we prefer to be involved in, some sinful practice. Maybe something to do with sex, maybe something to do with money, maybe something to do with relationships, but we would prefer the ways of sin to receiving the kindness of God. So we need to put our pride to one side. We need to put the prospects of sin to one side, and we need in humility to bow before God and receive the kindness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one thing we should be doing in respect of the kindness of God that God shows us. The second and other thing we need to do with the kindness of God is ourselves to be channels of the kindness of God to other people. Here we look to the great example of our Lord Jesus Christ. He himself said, he who would be first among you must be your servant. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We often tend to look down on those who serve us. We go to a restaurant and people bring us a menu and then the food and they clear the dishes away. But we feel often a little superior to people who serve us. We may feel superior to those who serve us in a domestic sense, as maids or servants in some way in our households. Oh, we are masters and they are servants. And we feel a degree of superiority to people who have the role of servant. Well, if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to have the mind of a servant. The mind of humility that says, I'm not a master, but I am a servant. That is one way we channel the kindness of God to other people, by having the mind not of a master or a mistress, but of a servant. Remember, on the night before he was crucified, the Lord Jesus Christ took a basin of water and did something that slaves did, namely, washed the feet of those in the house. And listen to what he said. If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have given you an example that you should do even as I have done. Or hear the words of the Apostle Paul where he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ, not seeking my own good, but my neighbour's good, that he may be saved. That is the greatest act of kindness that we can show other people, namely to put their hands in the hands of the Lord Jesus, that they might find the forgiveness that he gives. My dear friends, the kindness of God is almost always costly. The kindness of God is almost always involving sacrifice and humility and being like the Lord Jesus Christ. It costs to forgive those who have hurt us. It costs us to bear the hurt without vengeance. It costs time and effort and money and thought to do good, to channel the kindness of God to other people. Before our Lord Jesus Christ departed from this world, on the night before he went away, he told them that he was going to the Father, but that the Spirit was coming, that from now on they wouldn't be asking him, Jesus, for things. From now on they could ask the Father in his name. And Jesus is saying to them, I want you to have a vision for showing the kindness of God to people in the world. For as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And the works that I have done, you will also do, and even greater works. And so we need to be asking the Father for a vision of ways in which we may channel the kindness of God to people in the world. We need to be asking the Father for the opportunity to channel the kindness of God to people in the world. We need to be asking the Father for the strength to show the kindness of God to the people in the world. Now, I can think of some spectacular examples of people that I know who have shown the kindness of God. I have a friend who is a brilliant eye surgeon, who has one of the most prestigious eye practices in the country that I come from. His wife is a skilled linguist. What is he doing? He is now living in Kabul, in Afghanistan. He is giving sight to the blind. His wife is teaching literacy to the illiterate. He is in a situation of daily danger. There is the daily prospect of being killed. Here is a spectacular example of somebody who is at great cost to himself and of his wife and of his family of showing the kindness of God to people who are potentially his enemies. The kindness of God. I think of a woman, a lady doctor, who for decades has worked in Ethiopia. So heartbroken has she been at the knowledge of young women who haven't been able to reach full physical maturity because of lack of nourishment and the heavy loads that they have to carry in their daily lives, and who as young women, when they have their babies, find that their birth canal is ruptured and the distinction between bladder and bowel and other bodily parts is broken, and so there is a constant smell, a disodour, just associated with ordinary daily body functions that these lovely young girls, and that's all they are, 12 and 13 and 14 year olds, become social outcasts. And for 40 years, she has lived as a doctor, training other local people to bring medical healing and relief and the Christian gospel, showing the kindness of God, channeling the kindness of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to people like that. Now, these are spectacular examples. We may not have the gifts or the ability or the opportunity, but are we praying for the opportunities to show the kindness of God day by day to all whom we meet? Because we never pass this way again. The day that we will live today will never be repeated. Each day is a day of unique opportunity to show the kindness of God to other people. So what do we do with the kindness of God? We receive it in all humility. And we seek by the grace of God to channel it to other people. The kindness of God. Foreshadowed by David. Fulfilled by great David's greater son. To be received by us in forgiveness and reconciliation and the sure promise of the kingdom, and to be channeled by us who have the mind and the manner of the servant king, as we show the kindness of God day by day as opportunity presents itself to us. May God bless us as we receive and show the kindness of God. Amen.